afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the producer's chair for the first time is Ryan Buds.
Hey, how's it going? Pat, thanks for having me. That was my fans.
That was your fans and our guest. Ryan's here today. Here's the reason. Our guest today was supposed to record last week, and she had, what do we say, Debbie?
An issue.
An issue. So she asked if she could reschedule for Monday, and I said, of course. So, but my normal producer, Kyle Dotson, he's working. And my other producer, Matt Belknap, he's recording another podcast. So Ryan is being thrown into the mix.
Yeah, and it's not every Monday you wake up and have a friend go, hey, do you want to meet a music legend today? And that's a great way to start a week. So I'm glad to be here.
Would you say this is a manic Monday?
I knew that was coming.
I know. I wasn't even planning on it, Debbie. I was not planning on doing that. And then I just did it.
I was waiting for it.
I know. I wasn't doing it. But anyway, the voice you're hearing is founding member and the drummer and a lead vocalist for one of my favorite bands, the Bangles, Debbie Peterson. Hello, Debbie.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm doing better now. Thank you.
Now, when I say that the Bangles is one of my favorite bands, that means that when you come to my house and you look at my CD collection, not my iTunes, I'm talking about my physical CDs on my shelf.
Cool.
You will find every single Bangles CD. That's how it goes. That's when I.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's when I say.
I've been to his house.
You've been there.
It's pretty good.
It's really impressive when you get to Neil Diamond and the Rolling Stones, and people are like, why do you have 35 Neil Diamond CDs? And I'm just like, just leave me alone. But
cool.
So, Debbie, welcome. One of the main reasons you're here is because the Bangles, like I said, one of my favorite bands, and yet I had never seen you live until last week at the Whiskey.
You never saw us live.
I had never
ever.
Seen you live. It was like, it's like, I have like, there were like three or four bands that are like, I've never seen. Like, I still have not seen Elton John. Mm-hmm. I had never seen Joan Jett until last year.
Oh.
And so you guys, when I saw you were coming, I go, God, the Whiskey's the place to go.
I'm glad you came to that one too. That was a fun show.
It was a great show. And the thing that I was really impressed with at the show, not only how great you guys sounded vocally and the harmonies, but on record, I didn't know how great of a drummer you are. Live.
Oh, thank you.
Live, you were an amazing drummer. I was like, oh my God. I don't get that sometimes from the record.
Yeah.
But live, truly one of the best drummers I've seen.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You.
And Fred Armisen, he jumped up and played drums.
Yes.
And Fred is a comedian who can play drums, but Debbie, she's the drummer.
Yeah, but it was fun to have Fred along.
It is fun to have Fred along.
Yes,
so that was a great show. And I got to tell you, I saw the Eagles a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did. Okay.
At the Forum with all their stuff. And you guys put on a better show than the Eagles did.
Ooh, I have someone I'm going to tell about that one.
So there's a lot of ass kissing is going on
right
now.
Yes, I'm liking it too.
But it's true. I'm telling the truth in all these things. So, So Debbie's here, and we're going to talk about the history of the Bangles. Were you born in California?
Born, bred, and butter in California, yes.
Where at in California?
Well, actually, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah,
okay.
Actually, all of us are Los Angeles girls.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the band was started by you and your sister, Vicky?
Right, yes. Actually, she had a band in high school, you know, just a bunch of high school friends sort of playing around, and they were looking for a drummer. And the bass player at the time, her best friend, Amanda, said, what about getting your sister? And Vicky was like, really? What? I never thought about that. And so I said, okay, I'll try. You know, I'll audition. I wanted to be a musician. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
So you, at that point, you had never played drums?
I'd never played drums before.
Okay, cool.
I kind of wanted to play guitar or bass. Mm-hmm. And so there was an opportunity there. And I went, okay, sure, I'll try it. And I sat down and just started playing. So I guess all the air drumming and air guitar playing I've done in the past worked out for me.
So self-taught.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You're like, you and Vicky are like the Eddie and Alex Van Halen of the Southern California. So what's the first band called?
Well, we went through many names. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. There was The Muse. There was Those Girls.
Okay.
Then when we found Susanna, actually threw an ad in the paper.
Okay.
I don't know if you were going to ask that.
I didn't. I wasn't sure how you found Susanna.
Okay, we did. There was a paper called The Recycler.
Okay.
It was very big around South Bay in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And we actually had an ad for a guitar player, and my sister had put it in. And then Susanna had an ad for a band or something. She was trying to get a band together. And so somehow Vicky and Susanna connected. It was right after John Lennon died. And so they had like a 2-hour conversation about John Lennon. And then said, oh, by the way, we're looking for a guitar player. She's like, I'm looking for a band. And it was just one of those
meant-to-be
things.
The pieces just fell together. Yeah. And at that point, who's on bass at that point?
That was still Amanda.
Okay.
That was on bass. And then Amanda got married and, you know, went off and had a life.
Got married? No, wait a minute.
Got a PhD and all this sort of thing.
And what age are you, when you guys start this, you're a teenager, right?
I was, yeah, like 18 around that. Actually, when I first started, I think I was 15 when I first started drumming.
Okay. And and your parents are all on board with this career choice?
They were, you know, they were like, I really would rather you go to college and, you know, have something to fall back on, you know, understandably so. But I was like, no, this is what I'm going to do. This is what, I don't care. I don't care about college.
Now, what if your kids wanted to start a band at 15? What would you say?
I can't really, you know, role model. Hello? I can't really say no, but I'd say, well, just try college. I didn't. You should.
Go to college and have a band while you're at college,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there you go.
So at that point, you're all together with you and Vicky and Susanna. And then you change bass players, right?
Yeah, we found Annette Zelenskis, yes.
Who actually joined you
on stage
at the Whiskey.
Yes, she did. I hadn't seen her for years. It was great to see her again.
Yeah, how does that work? Are you guys still in touch, or did you just reach out? Or
I think Vicky and Annette were more in touch than I was, but she sort of reached out and said, hey, you know, I mean, we actually had recently, I guess it was in December, did some shows. The Paisley Underground reunion, where we actually played with some old friends of ours.
Oh, cool.
We did the Rain Parade.
Was that at the Fonda?
That was at the Fonda. Okay. We also played up in San Francisco. The 3 o'clock Rain Parade and Dream Syndicate. And we hadn't seen those guys for ages, so that was amazing seeing them again.
See, those were two of the shows I also couldn't get to. Every time the Bangles are around, it's like something is happening in my life where I can't get there.
You're a busy guy, you know?
Well, I don't know about that. But I'm here on a Monday afternoon at 11, so...
you're doing work. Come on.
I'm doing work. Yeah, this is work. You're right. Yeah. Thank
See?
You.
See?
You're right. So when do you guys become the Bangs?
Well, basically, I think we were the Colors first, and then we just wanted to change name, or there was another Colors or something. I'm trying to remember. And so we were sort of bashing around a bunch of names, and I think the Supersonic Bangs was one of the names, which
Supersonic
was
Bangs.
Actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, it's a little long. Let's shorten it to the Bangs. So we said, okay, let's make it the Bangs, because that's really powerful and punchy and means a couple of different things. And but unfortunately, there was another Bangs lived in New Jersey, and they had lawyers. We didn't.
Those jerks.
Yes,
but you did record. You did record a single under the name The Bangs.
Yes, we did.
And I have that right now.
Yes, our do-it-yourself record.
Let's hear a little bit of the do-it-yourself record. I have 1981 is when this came out. This is Getting Out of Hand. Let's hear a little bit of this. And now Debbie motioned to me that she's also playing bass.
I played bass on that. All the mistake and everything. Yes,
so
I did.
You're the entire rhythm section on that song.
Pretty much, yeah.
Very nice. And so is that the picture that pops up when I have that song, it only has three of you on the sleeve.
Yes, yes.
So that's why, because you're playing bass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So then when do you become the Bangles? When do you add those letters?
Well, actually, we
because
also,
the Bangs... We're going to sue.
But yes. They were like threatening to sue us. Well, actually, we had recorded our EP under The Bangs.
Yes.
And we'd been signed with Miles Copeland manager, and he had a...
That's IRS Records?
IRS Records, yeah. But he had a subsidiary called Faulty Products. It was rather faulty, I must say.
I was going to say, that's not... That maybe not, doesn't give your artist you know, the best...
It doesn't give you a lot of confidence.
Yeah, a lot of faith in that.
No. So so good old Faulty Products put out our EP, and then that's when we found out about the other bangs. Uh-huh. And it was like, oh, we got to change our name. So I remember sitting in a Mexican restaurant. We were all racking our brains. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Make it easier, put LES, and it becomes Bangles, and it's kind of like, you know, the bangles you wear in
your
arm hang loose and cool, and so that's how that
So it wasn't really supposed to sound, I always used to hear that it was supposed to sound like the Beatles.
Well,
that's what I
mean,
I would guess.
Is that, but we weren't trying to push that part of it, but that was part of another sort of little pun.
Yeah, you know? Well, that works. That worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Okay, so when do you get signed with... when do you leave Miles and his Forget About You artist label or whatever it's called?
Well, actually, Miles was our manager, but he just got us on this Faulty Products as well. But he was our manager for years, and we got signed to CBS.
Yes.
My dates, come on. I cannot remember. I don't remember the 80s.
The album came out in 84,
like late 83, I guess, got signed to CBS.
And what's the process of getting signed? Is Miles pushing you to them, or did they come out and see you in a club?
Well, they came to see us a few times, actually. You know, a couple of times when we all had colds, you know, and it sounded terrible, and we really played these really crappy clubs. But you know, hey, something must have been good there.
And were you playing all the clubs on the Sunset Strip at that point?
Yeah, we were playing a lot of them. Mm-hmm.
And was the hair metal? Was it, those guys were all around too? So you guys must have been like a different thing at that point.
Yeah, we were kind of freaky because we were so much more '60s. You know, we all
more
'60s,
more psychedelic.
Yeah, '60s psychedelia. So it was, a lot of people were kind of like, "Who are these girls? What are they doing?" You know. It's starting to get more the hair bands.
And you know? As far as, you know, an all-girl pop rock band playing their own instruments, that still doesn't happen that often.
It's no, surprisingly not. It's like, where are you girls? Come on, get out there.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I know
it doesn't really make any sense.
We know women that are out there playing or girls that are out there playing. And just, I don't know. It's really hard.
Yeah,
it's
when I see, you know, Vicky at the Whiskey was... just nailing it on her guitar. Mm-hmm. And when I go see Hart and Ann and Nancy are just, and it's just, and, you know, and Joan Jett, I'm like, well, where there has to be.
They're out there. Know, they're out there.
Taylor Swift's out there.
Well, yeah.
The Dum Dum Girl. Dum Dum Girls.
The Dum Dum Girls.
The Dum Dum
Girl.
There you go. Look at you, Ryan. You brought some musical knowledge in here.
All right, I'm out. See you guys later.
Okay, that's all for you.
It's always done.
Back to that Manic Monday.
Yeah, there should be. I mean, in the time that you guys have been around, there should have been a lot of people, you know, filling in the ranks.
Yeah, you think?
It's a shame.
It should be, yes. I mean, I know, like I say, I know they're out there. I just don't, they just haven't gotten to that level.
Right.
You know, that everybody knows about them.
So when does Michael Steele join the band?
She basically, when we recorded All Over the Place, that's when she...
She just hopped in and started recording.
Yeah,
with you guys.
We sort of met her many times in clubs and stuff, and sort of like, well, you know, she's a really good bass player. We should try to get her. And I think we auditioned a few people, mm-hmm. and then she came and tried out for us, and we said, okay, she's great. We loved her personality. We loved her playing, and she had such a good vibe.
And is she really tall? Not as tall as you, because she
I'm
seems
the tallest.
You're the tallest. How tall are you?
I am 5'9" and a quarter. Yeah. Apparently, still.
Yeah, she is dwarfing me. Let me tell you that right now. I don't know what it is about her in photos. She seems, maybe it's the big hair. Maybe her hair.
It's the hair, and I'm always sitting down. So.
Oh, that's true. That is true. But that's good because we can see you still behind the kit because you're tall.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then Susanna can fit in your pocket.
Yes. Well, it's so funny when there's pictures of us together. Oh, hilarious.
That's like, Susanna's like my wife's height. My wife's 5'1", very tiny.
Actually, I think my daughter's probably her height now. I know she was 5 feet, but I think she's 5'1" now. So there you go.
So, you record All Over the Place for CBS Records and, a couple of singles on that, including Hero Takes a Fall. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little bit of Hero Takes a Fall.
The hero is exposed when his crimes are
nice fade. You did a nice fade.
Lovely.
On
that.
Thanks, guys.
And then the other single, you sing lead on it.
Yes.
You sing lead on Going Down to Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a song that was written by Kimberly Rue from Katrina in the Waves.
Yes, correct.
And you have a video with Leonard Nimoy's in this video.
Yes, we do. That was awesome.
Now, that would be exciting for you to be singing on the video song.
Yeah. It was.
And how does that happen? At that point in your career, who chooses the singles?
Well, that's usually... We like to have chosen many different singles.
Sure.
Usually it's a record company decision.
But you guys were happy with the choices, obviously.
Yeah, with those choices were very good. Yeah. Okay.
Well, let's hear... Because here's the thing for me, folks. A lot of people, I think, maybe more casual fans, might think that Susanna sings all the lead vocals when she doesn't.
So there.
Yeah. Everyone in the Bangles, including Michael Steele, mm-hmm. when she was with the band, you guys all would sing lead on the albums, which that's even more like the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's focus on some of this. Let's listen to Going Down to Liverpool. And this is Miss Debbie Peterson.
That's a fun one.
It's terrifying to me to be able to play drums and sing at the same time. Just the idea of
doing
it. You're
terrified by that?
I can't
imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine doing it either.
I can't imagine not doing it. That's what's so weird.
That's because you learned to do it.
Like the first thing I did was learn to do both.
As an outsider, it's just like how, Phil Collins and just anyone who sings lead and drums, it just seems like an impossible feat.
You know what the funny thing about it is? The minute you start thinking about what you're doing, that's when you mess up.
That's when the problems happen.
Do not think about it.
producer on the on All Over the Place is, am I going to say his name right? Is it David Kahn?
David Kahn, yeah.
David Kahn. Mm-hmm. How do you guys get hooked up with a record label
thing?
Yeah,
that was a record label thing. He was like the token producer.
Like an in-house producer.
For the label. And
And how many days to record this first album?
Oh God!
What do they give you? I mean, do they give you?
It was pretty quick. I think we did the tracking in like 2 days, like all the tracking, and it was maybe a couple of months or something. It was very, very fast.
Do you record? Did you record more songs in there on the album, or did you just record?
We pretty much did what we decided we were going to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I always hear. I'm a Billy Joel fan, and he always says there are no bonus tracks. I would write 11 songs, and we would record 11 songs.
Yeah. On the other end of that, U2, they're like, we had 90.
I know, or Springsteen.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. There's so many artists 11, like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Springsteen.
And then half of them suck. And
right. Like, yeah. I know. So
but
I can't.
It's
even...
so hard to choose. Yeah. You know, when you have that many.
Yeah. Yeah. If Bruce Springsteen's writing 70 songs, it's gonna be difficult to narrow that down to 10.
Yeah.
So since I saw you performing the other night and you stepped out from the drum kit for a little bit and played a little acoustic guitar, I asked if you would mind bringing your guitar and playing something for us. I didn't expect you to bring your drum kit.
Well, no.
But,
I didn't bring my little, like, pack it up and mini drum set.
But you did bring the acoustic.
I did bring the acoustic.
So let's get you all situated, and we'll have you play something from the first album, All Over the Place. Okay?
Ooh.
All right. Okay, and so, Debbie, what are you going to sing from All Over the Place?
I am going to sing Live.
Live. Excellent.
Yes. It's actually written by Emmett Rhodes from the Merry-Go-Round. Just for you old fogies out there.
Hello, Emmett.
Hello, Emmett. Hey, actually, Vicky and I did a song with him fairly recently.
Okay.
We sang some background vocals with him.
So he's recording?
Yeah, he recorded an album, I think it was a couple years ago, a year ago. So
okay, excellent.
Oh, oops. Sorry.
All right, we'll look for that.
Pass your microphone. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, ready? ¶¶ not so hard, just let go and live. If you gotta go, you better live your life before you pass away. Don't waste a day. All your life is spent by daydreaming. And if I had a chance to roam, oh, I come live, 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 live.
Yay. Debbie Peterson, woo!
Oh,
that sounded pretty good.
Oh, thank you so much.
I mean, the recording. Brian, good job.
Yay, yay. Good job, dude.
That was Debbie singing Live from the first album, All Over the Place. And so were you guys happy with the first record when it came out?
Well, no. it was kind of a nightmare recording that one. Mm-hmm. Working with the producer, David Kahn, I had a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about bringing someone to tears, he did for me on going down to Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
Because he basically said I couldn't physically sing the song, and he made me do it like a million times. I did like a million tracks on it, and yeah, it was a nightmare. He was a nightmare.
Yeah, see, that's tough, and I think that's tough for you because when you go to record the next album,
mm-hmm.
he's also there.
He's there again. I know.
So
that was another nightmare.
So let's get into that. So All Over the Place comes out in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to number 80 on the LP charts, and then 2 years later, you guys come out with Different Light, and that goes to number 2
mm-hmm.
on the LP charts,
yeah.
and sells 3 million copies. But you're also working with David Kahn again.
Yes.
So. Tell us about, I think maybe what you're going to talk about a little bit is Walk Like an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had a lead vocal on that song,
mm-hmm.
except
for me.
Except for you.
Yes.
And tell us why.
That was a weird thing. That was like, okay, it's time to have an audition. Let's see. You sing this part. And so, well, Vicky sang the first mm-hmm. line. And then I was going to do the second section.
Right.
And so I did my bit, and then Susanna did hers or something like that. I think I blocked this out, actually.
Uh-huh.
Basically, Michael Seale came in and sang the second part, and he was much happier with that performance than uh-huh. with mine. But then I don't think he would have been happy with anything I did, if I was naked or jumping around, hoops. I don't know.
What the hell is this guy's problem with Debbie Peterson?
I don't know. He had something against me. I don't know.
This guy's making me angry, and I wasn't even there.
God.
So then, and what about, and then drums on the album, on that song,
okay,
is that you or is that a drum machine?
That's a drum machine, but that was, I remember being at my house,
uh-huh.
coming up with a drum part, and okay. he came over to my, it's my house in Hollywood,
yeah.
and he came over and helped me work on it. Of course, he had to be there for everything.
Right.
Know, control freak. Anyway, so we sort of worked on it together, but a lot of that came from me. So
yeah. Okay. Good. Really, so you did feel like you had a little imprint
tiny
on that.
Yes, and I think I played tambourine or something on that recording. I'm not sure. I don't know.
So when that song goes to number one, is it bittersweet for you personally?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember I was actually making a Slice commercial when it went number one, when I got the news. I was working with Gina Shock from the Go-Go's.
Yes, two drummers working together,
doing a Slice commercial, which was great because
Slice
I got
to buy, was, that's
Slice
a beverage.
Was a drink. Yeah, it was a drink.
It was like a lemon lime.
Like a lemon lime yeah, kind of yeah. drink. Yeah.
I've never seen, this was an
80s thing. So.
A TV commercial.
It was a TV commercial.
I've
yes.
never seen this commercial.
I would put it up there with a tab. Right?
I don't know. Maybe I need to get a YouTube version of that one out there.
Yeah, yeah. You need to post that.
I think I've got it on videotape somewhere. I need to get it put into DVD form.
I'm just because you brought Gina Shock up real quick. There was never a rivalry between the Go-Go's and the Bangles. That's like some phony baloney.
You know,
that was like
fantasy,
when Cyndi Lauper
you know?
and Madonna hit at the same time. It's like there's a rivalry. It's
oh,
like,
people love
be,
to do that.
I know,
you know
it's ridiculous.
No.
Solidarity between the California
right.
girl
the
groups.
The girls getting out there.
Because you guys have toured with the Go-Go's many times.
Well, not many times. We've done a few shows with them. Yeah.
Are you saying my information's wrong?
Perhaps.
There's nothing like hosting a music podcast and then having the guests tell you, no, that's not true.
No, but you know, a lot of the agencies would love us to do a full tour. They'd be like, oh, wouldn't that be great? You know,
would that be great?
No. I don't know. There's something a little sort of dog and pony about it, you know?
Okay, yeah, okay, that
if
makes
it's a,
sense.
Like
yeah,
a full,
like it's gimmicky.
Gimmicky, yeah.
Mm. Too gimmicky. And yet, you know, you got these Styx and Journey and Foreigner and REO, those guys interchange
know,
and go on tour.
Doing all the big every, hairs are doing it.
Every
yeah.
year they do it. Mm-hmm. So I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. They want to put, let's put all the girls together. They can all ride in a big
and
pink bus.
And there's not many of them. Yes, they can. And they can all, like, you know, have powder puffs and, you know, wear pajamas and have pillow fights.
Yeah, you
they
close out
the
show
pillow
with
fights.
Pillow
fight. Oh, no, we every Wait, practically every doesn't... photographer, we'd get the, girls, let's have a pillow fight. What? Are you crazy?
When Different Light comes out, you guys do all the shows? Are you on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, we did all that stuff.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm, yeah. There's video, more, lots of videos.
Oh, yeah. We were like touring fools.
Living large. Record company's treating you good.
Yeah, still not making any money at that time.
Isn't that funny? Every band has that same story. Mm-hmm, you know, Guns N' Roses with Appetite for Destruction. They're like, well, we didn't have any money.
Nope.
It's crazy. When does the money start happening?
Like years and years later. And it wasn't a hell of a lot, let me tell you. But you know, it was... It helped.
Yeah, because when you read a number like, you know, number two on the charts, 3 million copies, you go, oh.
Yeah, but then you also got, you know, you got all the managers and mm-hmm. the business manager, and you got all these people taking it off the top.
Is Miles still your manager at that point with Different Light?
At that point he was, yeah.
He's Stuart Copeland from The Police. That's his brother.
That's his bro.
Another great drummer mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I love, Stuart Copeland.
And then there was Ian Copeland, who rest his soul.
Yeah, he passed.
Yes.
So let me see what else I have on Different Light. You sing a couple songs on Different Light.
Mm-hmm.
You sing a song called, and again, the hits were Manic Monday, written by this guy named Christopher.
I don't know, yeah, this guy named Chris, or Christopher.
How did that happen?
Something.
Christopher that's Prince.
Yeah, so yes, okay. It was. He was, you know, he likes to be very elusive, and I think he was working on a film or something at the mm-hmm. time and trying to sort of promote his film, and that was his uh-huh. character or something,
okay.
something about that. So.
But how do you get how do the Bangles get this? Who brings this song to you?
Oh, well,
Manic Monday.
Actually, he saw us play at the Palace in Hollywood.
Okay.
And actually became a big fan and presented us with, I think, a couple of songs, and
okay.
we liked Manic Monday. But his thing was like, okay, you know, you girls just put your vocals on the backing track. And like, no,
no,
we're going to recut the song, okay?
And
he was okay with that.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. What Prince? He just seems like a guy that you don't have a conversation with. But again, I'm from the outside. You're an insider.
No, actually, we did jam with him like at 2 a.m. at a studio one time, and you know, not a lot of playing, not a lot of talking.
Okay, he's let the music do the talking.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Let's hear a little bit of this Manic Monday song by this guy named this guy named Christopher/Prince. So at this point, band's getting along great. You guys are.
Yeah, we're getting along, but things are starting to rear their ugly heads as far as we're doing all these TV shows.
Yeah.
There's a lot of focus on one member.
Right.
And being the drummer.
Less and less Sunday fun days.
Yes, right, exactly. Right. Exactly.
But yeah, so that's record company input, right? That's putting that wants to put the focus on Susanna.
Yeah, they're looking for that, you know, like they always do. They're looking for that standout person,
right?
You know,
which is more okay if the band has a singular lead vocalist.
Yeah, if it was meant to be that way.
Then you kind of understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But since you guys are all singing lead vocals mm-hmm. on across the whole entire album,
mm-hmm.
I understand where that would be a little bit of a difficulty.
Yes, it became a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and she's tiny. She's, you know, she's...
And she's pretty, and she does the eye thing, and she's got the little voice, yeah, and everybody loves the little person.
So, I mean, so, you know, you can understand where that's going to happen, and yet if you're in there, you're like, no, this is a band.
This is
cool.
Not our band.
This is not our band.
The way we should be represented.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Because you guys are all writing songs, mm-hmm. and you guys are involved in every aspect.
Yep.
And let's hear then. Let's jump down to a song that Debbie does sing on Different Light. This is called "Standing in the Hallway." That's a great tune. That sounds great.
Funky.
Love that song.
The Funky Bangles.
What, and how's David Kahn to work with here? You feel the same?
Horrible.
Way?
I mean,
you're just
I am not enjoying this at all.
So after you have an album that sells all these 3 million copies, and you go to make the album after that, do you guys have some say? And do they want you to work with David Kahn again?
Yeah, we were like, no, we're not going to do that.
Okay, good for you.
We definitely stood our ground. We had enough.
Yeah.
So it was time to move on.
So we move on to, well, you know what? Let's see. You know, there's one more song. I want to hear another song that Debbie sings on Different Light before I move on. And this is called Not Like You on Rock Solid. Great song.
Funny hearing those songs again, those two songs, because it was because I wrote those songs,
yeah,
started off with Susanna,
uh-huh.
and then I think David Kahn got his little fingers in the pie, and I think my sister helped out too, so it was this like huge, you know, melting pot of songwriters.
Is Vicky in your corner when you're having problems with David Kahn?
She wasn't really in my corner at that time, no.
She's your big sister.
I know. She's my sister.
She's supposed to have your back.
I think she was having enough issues of her own.
Okay.
Because he was kind of weird about her guitar playing. So, I mean, everybody had their little issues.
Who didn't he have issues with?
Susanna, right. Because I think he liked her. So, you know, there you go.
Are you guys, are the four of you, are you guys in relationships while you're in the band? Or is it all about the band?
Oh, yeah. We're all in different relationships.
Different
yeah.
relationships. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But still, I mean, our life was the band. We yes. lived... We were breathing Bangles, eating Bangles, living Bangles. I mean, you know, together all the time, yeah. especially at this time when we were always on the road.
All on the bus together.
Yeah. I think by that time we got a bus. We weren't in vans anymore.
Good. And again, big success with that album. You had two top tens. Walking Down Your Street goes to number 11. If She Knew What She Wants goes to number 29. So these are all top 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then is there a break? How much of a break? There's not much of a break because you guys get to work with Rick Rubin.
That's right. We did Hazy Shade of Winter.
You guys get to work with Rick Rubin on a song for the Less Than Zero soundtrack.
Right.
When Hazy Shade of Winter came out on the radio, I did not know that that was a Simon and Garfunkel song at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
you
know
were
if
very
it,
clever. If we it, were disguising it.
I don't know if it was my age or or what.
Well, it's so but it's so different.
It's such so a different, different version. It's, you know? it really rocks. Mm-hmm. You guys opened with it the other night. My friends and I were like, "What do you think they're going to open with?" And I'm like, "I bet they'll open with In Your Room." And we and this one didn't even it didn't we didn't even, we're like, "Ah, oh, of course." That's
well,
what they're going
to
open
we
with.
Used to do that song very similar, maybe a little bit slower, but we used to do it in the clubs like in the early 80s.
Yeah.
We did that song for years and years. And then the idea of doing it again for the Lesson Zero soundtrack was just, like, oh, yeah, let's do it. And let's rock it up a bit. And we had a really, really fun, good time doing it,
so,
making it.
So whose idea is that to do? They want you to do a song for Lesson Zero. Did they want you to do that song? Or do you say, can we do this song?
Oh, God, I can't even remember. Because it was, I think it was because of the opening sequence being kind of wintry, even though it's in California, but there's like snow and stuff. And
right.
They were looking for a winter kind of song. And I think we suggested it.
Okay, cool. And is, now, Rick Rubin now is a gigantic producer.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, he had done some stuff with the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
So he was kind of a little bit
cool.
Still new, but he was cool. So much cooler than that other dude. David Kahn.
Oh, shh.
And
don't listen, David.
Was he was he hands on with you guys in the studio?
He was hands on to a point, and I think we went back in and sort of redid some things because we didn't really like the way things were sounding. I think we actually, I know he worked with us like on the arrangement and stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And the end product you're happy with?
Yes, definitely.
Well, let's hear that. Let's hear Hazy Shade of Winter. The beginning of that song, it actually makes me feel cold because it sounds, it's like Christmas.
It's like Santa Claus
and
is coming.
Yeah, it's a little like Christmas Carol-y. Ryan, do you want to continue to play the song?
He's liking that so much.
I know.
He wanted to do some
more. That was my fault, Ryan. I didn't pause it. That's okay. Okay, you can turn it back on now. That's a great song.
Yeah.
It was like just a battle with an ice queen.
Yes.
It's a Narnia song right there.
It's a Frozen song.
Yeah, put that in Frozen.
Actually, it's funny because we heard, my daughter and I were in the car last week and we heard that on the radio.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Mom, that's you, right? Is that you?" She's like, "I love this family. I love my family." She got all excited and it was the cutest thing. I was loving it.
Well, that's nice because sometimes no matter what you do, your kids can be like, "Whatever."
Well, my son's kind of like, "Oh, yeah, Mom's on the radio again. Whatever." Yeah.
You're embarrassing me, Mom, with your drums. The drumming on that song, great.
Fun.
Amazing,
it was so much fun. To play that one.
Yeah. You guys nailed that at the at the whiskey last week,
thanks.
Or 2 weeks, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I guess it was.
So it's time to do the next album. You're not going to work with David Kahn, and you work with I don't know how to pronounce his name. Is it
David Sigerson?
Yeah. Sigerson. And do you guys pick him, or is this another record label?
Yeah, that was somebody we chose. Yeah. I can't remember how we got him now offhand, but yeah, we'd heard stuff from him and liked what he'd done and heard that he was, I think through mutual friends, that he was a really good guy to work with. And we're
excellent.
Like, okay, that sounds
that's
good.
That's the
me.
Guy for us. And up to this point in my relationship with the band was Everything is, that was my favorite of the three albums.
Oh, really?
I really like that. I thought,
that's cool.
I just love that, I don't know what, just everything about it. I really, really dig that album.
It was more hands on by us, by the Bangles. We definitely were more involved.
I don't want to say it sounded less commercial. It just sounded more like something was happening there for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I always loved.
Well, that's cool.
Loved that that record, and you got success with this record. You get In Your Room goes to number two.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, that song, the lyrics in that song just are like sexy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just like...
It's all about sex, you know.
Yeah, that's what... Let's hear a little bit of that. Yeah, that's like such a psychedelic sound there. I love that.
Yeah, Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yeah. Good. I love that little chunky. At this point, is Michael Steele, is she feeling like she's really in the, I know that you three were together and then she came in. So does she feel like she's part of the band?
I think she was starting to kind of want to do more of her own things. She's always been sort of more of a solitary person anyway. Uh-huh. So, you know, she wrote Following, which is on that record.
Yes.
And it was very much a Michael Steele solo effort, kind of, which was kind of weird because we were so used to doing everything together.
Right.
So that was kind of a strange white album kind of feeling going there. So
was she a good bass player to play with live?
Oh, yes. Very good. I mean, we were like locked in. I mean, it was great.
I know. I don't want to say it, but in the pocket.
In the pocket.
So yeah. Then you have An Eternal Flame. We won't play that. We know that.
It's
number one. But then you... and those were both, again, those songs were both... focusing on Susanna as lead vocalist.
Yep.
But then there's another single gets released that you're singing on.
Yes.
And who chooses that? Do you guys choose it? Does the record company choose it?
Well, that was the record company again, but it was me like praying and hoping and crossing fingers, please choose this one, because it was between that one and Glitter Years, which was a Michael Steele song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Be With You. Please, Be With You. Please, please, please. And ended up being Be With You. So.
And is there infighting just when the singles are being picked? Like you would love it to be, we'll release four singles, each one of you will sing lead on a single. That would have been the ideal world.
That would have been great.
But well, luckily you won out. So let's hear, this is a top 40 single.
Yeah,
top 40. To number 30. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to Be With You with Debbie on vocals. Lead vocal. Great drumming again. Motown.
Out my window, the rain starts to fall and the wind blows through an empty hall. In the mirror, two reflections of you.
Great song. That deserves to be a single.
It really brings back a lot of memories. Hearing all these songs.
I know, because I'm sure you don't sit around.
I don't sit around and listen to unless I'm relearning it to do for the live shows. Yeah.
And let's hear one more. Debbie sings another song on Everything That I Love. That's called Some Dreams Come True. Yeah, I think the label could have kept working this album. I think you guys could have had five or six singles off of this album easily.
Yes, I think so too. But that was a strange manipulation by the management we had at the time, which was no longer Miles.
No longer Miles.
Yes.
What happened to Miles? Did you guys part ways?
We parted ways. We'd had enough. I mean, he was kind of Miles Copeland, but where is he? Where is Miles? He was never available for us, and we thought, you know, we need more of a hands-on guy.
So who are you with at that point?
Oh, God. Like blanking on the name because it was another such a bad experience.
Okay.
It was, oh God. Oh, hang on. Brain.
That's okay. If you don't remember,
you know,
that's fine.
You can probably look it up somewhere.
That's fine. That's fine. It's just, but it's just another person.
It was another person that basically tore us apart. Yeah. I mean, it was already starting to break apart, okay, and it was just somebody else digging, you know, sticking the needle in, you know.
And then it does break apart because this is the last Bangles album for many, many years.
For like 9 years.
At that point, do you owe the record company any albums?
No.
Did you didn't have like, it was just album per album.
Yeah.
Deal.
I think we had like two albums Sony, like originally, and then we had a third option for a third or something, and then it was like we got out of it. Fine.
Okay, so you guys got out of it, and then Susanna, she does a solo album.
Yeah, because they wanted to take her and do a, you know, take her away.
But it doesn't do what the Bangles albums did, because there's something about that branding, that, you know, and those voices and that talent and everyone that's involved with it.
And again, it's you know, the sum of the four parts, you
right
know, it's,
exactly, it you can't,
it's like each one goes and does different things, doesn't quite do it like the four,
right? It's, you know? Just you know, you take David Lee Roth out of Van Halen, it's not
the
as
same
good. It's not the same. It's not as good.
I know.
So it's 95 and you have another project that you're working on, something called Kindred Spirit.
Yes. Well,
and
I
could only find one song from Kindred Spirit.
It
and
is
I,
definitely a collectible.
And I looked for it.
Oh, I should have brought a copy for you. Shoot.
Well, keep one in your car.
Yeah.
And when I run into you at the mall,
Trader
Joe's, you can hand it to me, because I would love to hear more, because
I could send you a copy if you want.
I'll give you my address and you can send it to me.
I
would love it.
Because I got like, I think maybe two extra copies. That's about it.
I would love it, Debbie. But the song I have here is, this is a 95. What do you do now? What do you do for that? You know, on paper, it looks like 7 years, but obviously the album came out and then you toured. Mm-hmm. Were you guys, were headlining at that with everything?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. We were. Yeah.
And then it just implodes, explodes.
And that was a horrible experience, because that was literally the management's house, supposedly meeting to talk about going to Australia, like in the next few months or whatever. For a tour. And that was the pretense of the meeting, when actually we were breaking up. And my sister and I had no clue.
Oh,
these
wow
guys had taken Michael and Susanna and like tried to split us up, you know, take them, like promising them the world.
Well, the sisters are going to stick together, obviously.
Yeah.
So we'll bring Michael over to our Susanna side.
Yes. And he, you know, they never did anything for Michael, of course. So, but yeah, it was pretty horrible experience.
So did you and Michael and Vicky think, well, we're still the Bangles, let's get someone else and try that?
No, we were like, we'd had enough. We just
so you didn't even want to, you wouldn't even ever have called the Bangles. You could call it another, but you just didn't
just
want
didn't
to.
Want to work with, we didn't want to work together. In fact, after that, I was like, I don't even know if I want to be in the music business anymore.
Yeah.
It was just so horrible.
So what did you do between everything and when Kindred Spirit?
Basically, I had like 6 months off where I just was like, you know, kind of totally freaked out. And what am I going to do now?
Right.
You know, but go back to college or go to college.
Right.
You know? And so I was kind of, you know, just didn't know what to do. And then just started writing songs.
Uh-huh.
And then actually initially got together with Gina Schock to work with her. But that didn't work, because it was just the personalities just didn't work together. And then I found Siobhan Marr, who had a band, River City People, big in the U.K., and actually, Miles was helping us out too.
Because IRS Records.
Yeah, it's actually what was it called? It was another one of his subsidiaries. I can't even remember the name. It was such a hilarious name. But we were with Miles. I mean, Miles is very supportive. I mean, he's actually a really good guy. You know, a lot of people don't give him the time of day, or you know, think he's completely insane, which he kind of is. But he has a lot of good ideas, and he'll be very supportive. If you know, he's in your camp, he'll be very supportive. And he was supportive of me and Siobhan, and we made a record together, and she had songs that she'd written with other people. I had songs I'd written with other people. We got together and it worked really nicely. The voices blended really well, and we got kind of a nice record from it.
All right. Well, I'll play the one song I have. This song is available on iTunes.
What about the rest? I think I need to find out about
You need to find out about getting this on there.
Yes.
And this one's called Memories Run Deep, and you said that you do not
sing. I do not sing on this. That's just Siobhan.
But you're doing some
harmony. Yeah, I'm singing in there.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of it. Excited! I get to hear more of that.
Oh yeah, you will.
Very
you
cool.
You will, and I need to figure out how to get that on iTunes.
Yeah, you do. That shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, I'll find out. Research.
So now we don't hear anything from the Bangles for years and years and years and years and years. And what is the catalyst to try it again?
Well, Susanna was calling everybody like, well, what do you think? You want to try this again? And she called me. Then she called Vicky. And I don't know if she called Michael, but she was starting to, you know, thinking it'd be nice to see if we can do this again.
And because even at that point, she realized also that her solo record, her solo career wasn't going the way of the Bangles.
Yeah, it wasn't going that spectacular way. And, and, you know, even though she was doing stuff on her own, she liked having the camaraderie of the Bangles and the, like the way we all sound together.
Yeah.
And so she and I actually started talking, and she'd had a kid and I had a kid.
Okay.
So it was like one of those things, oh, let's have mom talk. So we'd sat down and had mom talk to start with, and then we started writing together.
Nice.
And
and after you started writing together, were all these old, what do I want to say, old disagreements or whatever, did those just go away?
It was pretty much water under the bridge by that time, because it's been a lot of years, so a lot of the wounds were healed.
And when you become a, when you become a parent, things just don't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter.
I agree with you.
Perspective changes, and we discussed things and discussed, okay, this is what we don't want to do next time, you know? And so that was good. And then Vicky was a bit apprehensive. She was living in New Orleans for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she had a couple projects going on there. And so she was like, I don't know if I want to do this again. I certainly don't want to do Walk Like an Egyptian again. I'm like, well, I don't blame you either, but, you know, sometimes you have to do these things. But, you know, finally she decided, let's try it again, but let's all talk about what we're going to do and how we're all going to be able to get along this time.
Yeah.
And plus we were all older.
Right.
Been through many different things, worked with other people, so...
Is Vicky also a mom at this point?
No, she was not. She was years and years later.
Married
John Cousill and became a stepmom.
Oh, from the Cousills.
Yes, from
very
Cousill.
Nice. Very nice.
Drummer from the Cousills. Yeah.
And then you guys bring Michael back also.
Yeah, that was interesting because we were just sort of working together, and we got, obviously through Susanna's husband, got an offer to do a song for the Austin Powers movie.
And Susanna's husband
is Jay Roach.
Jay Roach, yes. Director Jay Roach.
So there was a little in there, so to speak. And so we got to write a song for that movie. And so the three of us got together and wrote a song. And somehow we got in touch with Michael. And Michael's, because she was just in hiding. She was doing other things and just didn't want to have anything to do with any music or anything.
Right.
And so she said, yeah, I'll come back and I'll play bass on it and I'll sing on it and, you know, be a part of it. And it was great. The minute she walked in the studio, it was like we all just remembered everything. All the old jokes came out again. It was like old, like wearing old shoes, comfortable old shoes again.
And after, do you guys do any shows after that, or you just... Was it just the one song and then we'll see what happens after
that? Yeah, it was kind of like that. We'll see what happens. And we started playing together and working on new material together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that material turned into Doll Revolution.
Yes.
Which came out in 2003. That is also an excellent record.
Yeah, that's that one turned out good.
I like that a lot. And you guys cover an Elvis Costello song on that album. Called
Tear Off Your Own Head.
So this is that you saying that at the beginning of the
song? No, that's actually Vicky.
Oh, okay.
But I do a little scream in the beginning.
This is where I met you the first time briefly, and I'll tell you this quick story. Elvis Costello played the Wheel Turn, and I didn't go to that show, and Susanna jumped up on stage with him and performed with him. So a couple years later, he's coming back to the Wiltern. Mm-hmm. My friend and I go. And one of my hobbies is I get albums autographed and then I frame them and they're all over my office at home. I have like 70.
That's
crazy. Springsteen
it's
and Ray
impressive.
Davies. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
So I have my Elvis Costello album with me that night and I have the Bangles, everything. And my friend says, why do you have a Bangles album with you? And I said, well, the last time they were here, Susanna jumped up on stage. So maybe who knows? Who knows what will happen? And you and Vicky were at that show at the Wiltern and you guys got up on stage. So afterwards, you guys were exiting and I said, hey, Vicky and Debbie. And you guys were like, yeah. I was like, could you sign this for me? And you guys were like, why do you have this?
It's like, why is this here?
I know. But you guys were super cool, super nice, signed it for me. And, but that's where we had a brief,
okay. We had a brief encounter,
brief
before.
Bangle moment. Mm. So let's, but now back to Doll Revolution. Let's hear, a song off Doll Revolution, called Ask Me No Questions. Sung by Debbie Peterson.
If I told you I don't mind, would you believe me when I say to you you're not my kind? Do I deceive you with this fragile disguise? Ask me no questions and I will tell you no lies. If you could read my heart, I would not deny. But I'll pretend all these tears on my face don't imply.
The production on this record is
Brad
amazing.
Wood. Yeah.
That
he's good.
That guy is doing a good job.
Yeah, he did a great job. And we worked really well with him.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And it was the four of you. Michael was there. Everyone's there.
Everyone was there. But just an FYI on that song you just heard.
All right.
That is also on Kindred Spirit record. On the Kindred Spirit record. Because actually I wrote that song with our old keyboard player, Walker Eigelhart.
Okay.
And we rewrote it, I guess, right after the first breakup, the Bangle breakup. And I always thought, God, you know, the Bangles need to cover this song. I totally hear it.
Yeah, you write a good song. Song's a good song.
Yeah, and I always thought this would be perfect in the Bangle world. And so, but I thought, you know, it worked really well with Kindred Spirit as well. So we did that. That was the first version.
I'm going to play another song off Doll Revolution that you sing lead on. And then I'm going to have you sing.
You're going to have
a third song,
time
another song from Doll Revolution. You're going to sing for us live, but let's hear a little bit of Lost at Sea.
Can we try to salvage what we can from the weight of water and sand? Lift us up again. Will this world
voice sounds amazing on that song.
Thank you.
Great really lyrics, great. Too. Really, really good.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some roadie activity here, and then we're going to have Debbie sing one more song for us called Here Right Now, and then we're going to bring you right up to the present-day Bangles and find out what's happening now with the Bangles and talk about their newest record.
Okie dokie.
All right, so this is also a song from Doll Revolution, sung by Debbie Peterson, and this is Here Right Now.
Settle down, stand back, take a look around you.
That person on guitar is a drummer. Excellent.
Can't you tell?
No, we cannot. All right, that was Here Right Now. Excellent, excellent song.
Thank you.
So 2003, Doll Revolution comes out. You guys do some shows.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's working. Everything's, you guys are getting along.
Yes.
And then we have another long gap
well,
between records.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I call them records. Still.
I know. We like to have long gaps, I guess. I don't know. Readjustment period. I don't know what you call it. But actually in 2004, Michael Steele decided she just didn't want to do music anymore.
Yeah.
She just wanted to go move up north and just, you know, be with her dogs and her animals and do other things.
And that's fine.
And that was cool.
So you guys, so there was no like infighting or any.
She no just, animosity,
she,
nothing.
Did she bring you all together for like wine and cheese and say, hey guys, here's what's going to happen? Or did she call you? How does that work? An email?
It wasn't an email, no. That's, how impersonal. No, we all discussed it. We all talked and you know, had meetings and talked on the phone. And, you know, we just thought, hey, we want everybody to be happy. Whatever
yes.
it takes. If you don't want to do this anymore, that's fine.
Is there ever an open door if she'd call you and go, hey, you know what I
of
think?
Of course. I'm like, yes.
Excellent.
I mean,
that's nice.
You know, we were hoping that she could come to the whiskey and, yeah. or do
that
you know other
crazy.
Shows with, her, with us. But... You know, it's one of those things, if she wants to do it, great. It's there. The
That's
opportunity's
nice.
There. Yeah.
So in essence, then you become a threesome.
Yes.
A recording threesome.
Yes, we do.
The gentleman who performed with you at the whiskey, he's also on this CD.
Yes, Derek. Derek Anderson, yes.
Derek Anderson.
We love him.
That guy is a crazy, amazing bass
Isn't
player.
Isn't he insane?
He was such a cool presence on stage.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Just,
we love him.
Just kicking back and letting you guys take center stage and do what you do.
Yeah, he's really good.
I love the interplay that you guys had on stage. You guys look like you're having fun. I love that you're counting the songs in 1, 2, 3, 4. You're just, it was such a fun show.
Good.
But Sweetheart of the Sun comes out in 2011. And this album is now my favorite Bangles album.
Oh, really? Yay.
Yes. I love everything, as I told you, and I love the Doll Revolution. But this one has such a 60s psychedelic, like,
and
Jefferson.
70s.
And 70s.
Like an early 70s vibe, you know?
It felt like Jefferson Airplane-y, like Grace mm-hmm. Slick-y. Just, mm-hmm. I felt like I was high when I listened to it the first time. No, it's such a...
Oh, it's
I just,
funny you should say that. Only because we were working with Matthew Sweet, right?
Yes.
And he smokes a lot of pot. And so doing the drum track.
Please tell us the Bangles don't...
No, no.
Don't smoke
but you know, when it's all around you, you do get the contact high,
right?
Right? So some of the songs are a little slower than I listen to them now. I go, oh my God, I must have gotten a serious contact high on that one because it's really slow and mellow. But it's really, that's such funny that you said that about being high.
Yeah. I mean, even the cover with the flowers and the cover has a couple of sets of gams on the front.
Yes, they're gams. And guess whose gams they are?
Well, I would have to, yeah, I would say this is, that's gotta be Susanna.
Wait, let me see.
The waist looks low.
Yep. She's little legs.
And, I'm going to say that's you.
No.
No.
You're
right there.
In the middle.
Tallest one is in the middle.
Long legs, yep.
All right, excellent.
So, yeah, that was fun because actually that was a takeoff of an old 60s album cover. I don't remember who the artist was, but Susanna found it. Said, this would be really cool if we could do our version of it. And actually this album is more of a concept album mm-hmm. for us because we actually worked on the whole, you know, all the artwork and mm-hmm. all the songs we were writing were kind of going in this kind of flow
yeah.
and this kind of theme, you know, sort of like, you know, Laurel Canyon in early 1970s.
It's exactly what this album,
you know,
feels
Carole
like.
Carole King, and we were reading Girls Like Us, that book, and it was just all sort of coming together. Yeah.
And yet it doesn't sound dated. It sounds fresh and new at mm-hmm. the same time. Mm-hmm. And then you close out the album with a Nas song.
Mm-hmm.
Open my eyes.
Yeah.
It's such a great version. But you sing lots of lead vocal on this album. And I want to, this, I love Ball and Chain. So I'm going to play a little bit of Ball and Chain. You say the word slut in this song.
I say the word slut in this song. Well, actually, that was funny because it wasn't the actual original lyrics, but Susanna heard it that way and went, okay, well, that's kind of cool. I like that. You know, we'll just throw that in there.
I don't know if that's in the clip we're going to play. I think I went with the next verse after that. But this is, again, the next four songs you're going to hear, this is all Debbie Peterson on vocals, and this is Ball and Chain. Love it.
Cross to bear.
is that?
That's a funny one because that's an old one. Yeah, it's rocking, dude. It's an old, yeah, early 90s, maybe late 80s, that one.
And that was another one. You're like, this is a great song. Let's do this song now.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, why not? It was something I thought the Bengals should do too, you know.
Was the recording of this album, was this the best experience recording an album that you
I'd
had?
I'd say yes. This was my
Absolutely.
Favorite one.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you guys produced it and then co-produced by Matthew Sweet. He plays on the album a little bit too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does some little bass thing, little keyboard things, and he's great.
And Susanna brought him to you because of the under the cover CDs that they do. Okay, let's hear another one. Let's hear Mesmerized. Just burn through these songs.
The moment you came into view.
See, when I hear this album, I feel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that this is how you guys always really, really wanted to sound on record.
Dude, you nailed it. Okay, you so cool. nailed it. Yeah. This to me is the Bengals, you know. This is how we've always been, should have been seen, you know.
Right. No one sounds like this.
No.
Those harmonies and just everything about this record. And again, when this record came out, I was shouting it from the rooftops. I bought this album for people. I'm like, you got to listen to this. And people, people would say, the Bengals? I'm like, dude, listen, take this. Awesome. Forget Walk Like an Egyptian. Clear that out of your head and listen to this. Because if I just gave it to them and didn't tell them who it was, they wouldn't have, I don't think they would guess.
They probably wouldn't.
They wouldn't guess the
Bengals. It's very different.
Yeah, it's very different.
It became this other thing in the 80s. Yeah. And this, to me, this is the organic Bengals.
Right. And is there going to be more of this type of organic Bengals?
Probably. I'm sure. Yes.
I hope so.
Yes.
Because you need more albums in your catalog.
I know, we really do.
You
it's
really,
really
need
pathetic.
More. You need it's, more albums.
Well, there's a lot of other things going on. We've all got different things going on right now. So we're
life
we're
happens.
Quite, I know.
But we can't. It can't.
No, I agree.
It can't be until 2019. You can't make us wait 8 more years.
Believe me, I don't want to. We got to do this. All right.
Let's do. Let's hear 2 more, and then we're gonna let Debbie go. We don't want to let her go, but we're going to let her go. I'm going to, before Debbie leaves, I have 3 copies of Sweetheart of the Sun. I'm going to have Debbie sign those if she would. Mm-hmm. And then the day after this episode posts, everybody watch your Twitter feed for Rock Solid Podcast. And I'll throw up a trivia question or two. And you answer those and you'll get copies of the CD. Mailman's coming in. You can come in.
Hey, mailman.
Hi, mailman. Mailman comes in the studio.
Fan mail from some
flounder. Just put it right there. That's fine. You're welcome, sir. The mailman makes an appearance. That never happens. All right, let's hear. So you'll sign these for us, right?
Debbie? Oh, yes.
What if you said no? What if you said
no? No, forget it. I'll spit on them.
I charge $20 per signature.
and but some people do that, let me tell you.
Oh, I know they do. Ugh. But no, you guys are, you're going to be, and the people that win this, you're going to be so excited that you have this in your collection because it is definitely a 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
So listen to, right now we're going to hear 1 of 2, and then we're going to hear What a Life. So here's 1 of 2.
Keep waiting for the moment to arrive. When the words I said get through to you. I need to keep this little dream of mine alive. But I need you too. I am 1 of 2.
So you're writing songs all the time?
Yeah, writing a lot. Yeah,
always write songs.
But I should write more.
And do you preview them for your husband and kids?
No,
no, it's just for you.
It's pretty much for me. Sometimes I'll play to the kids.
Uh-huh. And then the band.
Yeah, and then the band. All, you know, get it to a good point. But actually, Vicky and I write a lot together, mm-hmm. and Susanna and I write together, too. And
does Vicky live back in California now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in L.A.
Another thing about Sweetheart of the Sun is every single song, you guys nailed it. Every single, your songs, Vicky's songs, Susanna's songs, they're all great.
Thank you so much. So, I like this guy. I'm going to take you with me.
Thank you. We live near each other, so yeah, we'll carpool. Okay, let's close it out. You're not on Twitter.
I don't tweet.
You don't tweet.
I'm not a birdie.
So where can we find you? What's the website?
Management@bangles.com. Hang on. Let me get my phone.
Where sure. Vicky's on Twitter.
Vicky tweets.
Vicky tweets.
She's a tweeter.
She'll probably tweet Bangles information for you folks. Are you guys going out on tour this summer at all? Is that up in the air?
That's up in the air, but we'd like to.
Okay, cool.
Actually, you just go to thebangles.com.
Go to thebangles.com.
That's a Bangle website, and you can go to Facebook through that. And
when this posts, I'll put all that stuff on our Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
Ryan, where can we folks find you? You're a comedian.
Yeah,
you're
I do comedy.
There.
I host trivia.
Cool.
Do a little acting, that kind of stuff.
Do you?
At Ryan Buds on Twitter, RyanBudds.
Okay, I thank you so much for sitting
awesome.
Here. You did,
thanks
you
for
did,
having me.
You did a great job.
Did a great job, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm never going to have you back, but I love them.
Wow, he's getting the axe already, no. Huh?
I'm going to take all the free water I can today, then.
You can maybe you move up north with your dogs and Michael Steele.
Ooh,
there you go.
I do like dogs.
Woof, woof. You can find us on Twitter at Rock Solid Show. You can find me on Twitter at Pat_Francis. Please like us on Facebook. And let's close out with Debbie's last vocal performance.
That's my sister. I think you're talking about. She sings on the last on What
on
a
What
Life.
A Life.
Yeah, we wrote it together though.
Well, now I feel like a jerk.
I don't feel like a jerk. It's okay. I think I'm singing a little bit on it, but she's mainly the vocal. Well,
then why did I think?
I don't know. But don't worry. It's no biggie.
Yeah, right there.
You're forgiven.
It says right there, Vicky Peterson, lead vocals. Well, let's give your sister some love then.
Yeah. But before we do, I just want to mention something.
Me.
I'm working with John Wicks from the records.
Okay.
We're writing songs together. We're playing a show March 30th at McCabe's.
Well, that's good because this episode is going to go up before that show.
Oh, good.
So
good.
March 30th at McCabe's.
At McCabe's.
Hold on 1 second.
Got to put the plug in. Plug. Yeah, actually, I wanted to know when this was going to be.
Yeah,
done.
This show is this is perfect. Perfect timing. This this will post on March 20th.
March 20th.
So
okay,
you guys will have probably be sold out by then. But you can still get hopefully still get tickets for the March 30th show at McCabe's. McCabe's, if you live here in Los Angeles, it's famous, very super tiny. If you thought the whiskey was tiny.
Yeah, it's like it's John and I with the band as well on that stage, and literally it's like I can't move my arms, you know.
So go see Debbie live. John sings and you sing. You guys are both singing.
Yes, we both sing. We're writing together, and it's a fun show.
Excellent. Well, let's close out with a song that Debbie doesn't sing.
My sister did.
I'm so dumb.
Okay.
But this is the we'll call her the Elder Peterson.
She'll like that one.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for performing
thanks
live.
Thanks for having me here.
I hope you had fun.
Yeah.
And this is What a Life from Sweetheart of the Sun.